Egyptian society is typical of much of the Middle East. It's conservative, but one country stands out from its neighbors. That's Iraq. Prostitution, drugs, and pornography are now widespread there. It wasn't always this way, but it's part of the enormous change that the country has gone through in the past 8 years. Jane Araf has witnessed the changes in Iraq as a reporter, first for CNN and now as a freelancer. Jane, how is Iraq different from its neighbors, and when did it change?
Well, I think the thing about Iraq is that with the toppling of Saddam, it basically lifted the lid on pretty much everything. It wasn't as if prostitution didn't exist before the war. It certainly did, and particularly in that period of sanctions, when there were international trade sanctions on Iraq in the 1990s, and even middle-class women who couldn't find food for their families were turning to prostitution. I think the thing is now, though, that essentially it became lawless after the invasion, after Saddam was toppled, then law was imposed again. It has become quite religious. So it's this really odd combination of increasing religiousness, Islam, of course, and an openness, and the two things coincide and rather unhappily.
Give us an example. Perhaps you can talk about the pornography situation in Iraq. I mean, what was Saddam's point of view on pornography, and what is the kind of the national approach to pornography today?
Well, essentially, pornography is bad. It's about as simple as that. It certainly doesn't jive with any sort of religion, and it's frowned on. But having said that, this is a country where young men particularly do not have many avenues open to them. They can't really have sex. They certainly can't have sex with women for the most part. And pornography is one of the few ways that they have access to that sort of thing. It's the same on U.S. military bases. There's a prevalence of pornography on the bases, even though it's officially banned there. But really, the thing about Iraq as well, I think, is it's a country that's very much still coming to grips with what kind of country it wants to be. And we've seen that in a spate of recent killings of gay men. This has been an openness that many people have taken advantage of. They couldn't have dressed the way they dress under Saddam Hussein's era. They couldn't have engaged in the kind of behavior, dancing in clubs that they did then, men with men. But having said that, it's collided with an increasingly religious atmosphere here. It has resulted in the death of at least a dozen gay men, and they've essentially gone underground, gone to Syria, gone to other places, and gotten the message very clearly that even though things seem open here, they're not really.
That's curious, because it does seem to have some similarities with the story we just heard from Daniel Estrin in Egypt about the challenges faced by the transsexual community there. So are you saying that homosexuality is viewed just poorly all across Iraq?
Well, homosexuality really across the Arab world isn't really acknowledged. There are no laws against it in Iraq, I think partly because people believe it doesn't exist. It's the same way in Iran as well. It's the same way in other Arab countries. Sexual experiences between young men are considered fairly normal before they get married. So that if you have an experience of that sort with another man, you're not necessarily considered gay here. The thing that really offends people is not so much the sex, it's the appearance of being gay. It's the perception that you're gay, that you're effeminate. And that's really what has led a lot of these young men into trouble and led to the attacks against them. Now, the Iraqi government position, of course, is that these things are completely unacceptable, the killings, the murders that we've seen, the violence against gays. But it persists simply because, in part, there are laws here that are above and beyond the laws that you find on the books, and those are the social laws that are kicking in.
And Jane, are we discussing kind of morals inside Baghdad, or is this across the country? I mean, if you leave Baghdad, how much do kind of the morals change when you get to these non-urban areas?
Well, certainly Baghdad is the big cosmopolitan city. It's sort of the equivalent of New York versus Kansas. When you get into the rural tribal areas, you certainly could not get away with a lot of the behavior you see here in Baghdad. Having said that, this is still a very conservative society. It's much more conservative in the rural areas, much more conservative in the tribal areas. In the tribal areas, it's much easier to get killed for that sort of behavior that contravenes those social codes that have existed for hundreds and hundreds of years. But here in Baghdad, if you walk down one of the streets that used to be famous for the fish restaurants, at one point the bars, it's named after a famous poet who loved wine, Abu Nawas Street. it's kind of degenerated into the seedy kind of street where there are nightclubs that are closed down every other night. There are kids hanging out on the street. They're either drinking or they're sniffing glue. And it's not quite a family atmosphere. Now, people like to believe that's temporary, that as soon as economic reconstruction kicks in, that it will again become that nice family-oriented sort of street, which it is, in fact, in the daytime. It just kind of takes a turn to the seedy side late at night. But it is an indication that there are a lot of hidden Baghdads, a lot of hidden Iraqs here still.
Reporter Jane Araf in Baghdad has been covering Iraq on and off for almost 20 years. Thank you for your time, Jane.
Thank you.